KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
Straight up at 8 o'clock, we have a mostly clear sky. It's 38 degrees. We look forward to be partly cloudy to cloudy today with a high of 58. Winds northwest at 15 this morning, 15 to 25 this morning, diminishing this afternoon. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. In area news, an employee of a contractor working to clean water wells in Harlan on Tuesday received an electrical shock when the boom on his service vehicle struck an energized 69-volt Northern Iowa Power Cooperative power line in the South Wellfield near Harlan. According to officials of the Harlan Municipal Utilities, the worker employed by the Cahoy Group was raising the boom on his truck when the incident occurred a little after 4 p.m. on Tuesday. HMU CEO Ken Weber said on Wednesday,
I did speak with the injured employee yesterday at Merchant Medical, and it appeared that he was receiving all the best care possible. He was conscious and aware. We had a brief discussion. But I just wanted to make the public aware that safety is a major concern at HMU. It's vitally important that everyone use proper safety precautions around all of our various utility facilities.
The man's name was not released. The Cahoy Group was hired to clean the HMU water wells in order to increase operational efficiency. The Taylor County Sheriff's Office reports 31-year-old Brad Larson of Bedford was arrested this morning in the 1300 block of State Highway 2. Larson was arrested on a warrant for burglary in the first degree and was being held in the Taylor County Jail without bond, pending an appearance before the magistrate with additional charges pending. The Cass County Sheriff's Office yesterday said there were numerous arrests that dated back to September 18th. Most recently, on Monday, 47-year-old Minty Binos of Atlantic was arrested for OWI first offense. Binos was taken into the Cass County Jail and later released on his own recognizance. And 32-year-old Claire Marie Cornette of Atlantic was arrested Monday on a sheriff's office warrant for harassment in the third degree. Cornette was taken to the Cass County Jail and released later that day at $1,000 bond. On September 27th, Cass County deputies arrested 35-year-old Jeffrey Leroy Carpenter of Atlantic on a sheriff's office warrant for harassment in the third degree. Carpenter was also charged with one count of harassment in the second degree upon his apprehension. On October 3rd, Carpenter was charged with probation violation. He remained held in the Cass County jail on $8,000 bond. On September 26th, 30-year-old Joseph Paul Hinton of Atlantic was arrested on a Cass County Sheriff's Office warrant for criminal mischief in the third degree and domestic abuse assault. Hinton was taken to the Cass County Jail and released the following day on his own recognizance. On September 25th, Cass County deputies arrested 25-year-old Taylor James Gardner of Ray, Colorado, on two district court warrants for probation violation. Gardner was taken to the Cass County Jail and remains held on $10,000 bond. Back on September 19th, 44-year-old Brad James Smith of Atlantic was arrested for OWI first offense. He was later released on his own recognizance. And on September 18th, 19-year-old Travis Joseph Osborne of Atlantic was arrested on two district court warrants for probation violation and one Atlantic Police Department warrant for felony theft in the second degree, along with unauthorized use of a credit card. Osborne was taken to the Cass County Jail and remains held on $21,000 bond. The Creston Police Department this morning reports two separate arrests took place Wednesday night. At around 10:20 p.m., 33-year-old Jasmine Earth of Winnebago, Nebraska, was arrested for disorderly conduct. Her bond in the Adams County Jail was set at $300. And at around 7:50 p.m., 53-year-old Craig Hauser of Creston was arrested by Creston Police for a second offense, public intoxication. Hauser was being held in the Union County Jail on a $1,000 bond. Police in Glenwood report two arrests took place on Tuesday. Authorities said yesterday that 64-year-old Pamela Barnes of Glenwood was arrested for failure to appear on a contempt charge with her bond set at $1,000. And 34-year-old Jules Anderson of Bellevue, Nebraska was arrested Tuesday for possession of a controlled substance and possession of drug paraphernalia. Her bond was set at $13,000. Officials of the Iowa Judicial Branch that report the next Wednesday, October 10th, justices of the Iowa Supreme Court will meet with students from five Red Oak area schools to discuss the Iowa judicial system and the role of the courts in Iowa. Their schedule includes at 8 o'clock next Wednesday, Chief Justice Mark Cady visiting the Red Oak High School. At 9:30, Justice Edward Mansfield visiting the Clark Community High School in Osceola. At 9:37, Justice Thomas Waterman will visit the Creston High School. And at 9:47 a.m. Wednesday, Justice David Wiggins is scheduled to visit the Atlantic High School. And then at 1 o'clock that same afternoon, Justice Susan Christensen will visit the Harlan High School. In addition to the school visits, the Supreme Court will hold a special session in Red Oak on October 9th at 7 p.m., and that'll be in the Wilson Performing Arts Center at 300 Commerce Drive. During that special session, the court will hear oral arguments in a case. The oral arguments are open to the public. A public reception of the justices in the auditorium lobby will follow the oral arguments. The Iowa Supreme Court on September 9th will hear attorneys argue in a case, State of Iowa versus Lee Samuel Christensen for Emmett County District Court, on further review from the Iowa Court of Appeals. The Supreme Court hears the case reversing a district court second-degree murder conviction of the defendant, who has appealed his conviction for second-degree murder, arguing that the district court erred in overruling his motion for a new trial based on juror misconduct, jury bias, and prosecutorial misconduct. The Iowa Court of Appeals had reversed the district court on the grounds of juror misconduct and remanded for a new trial. Upon the state's application, the Iowa Supreme Court granted further review of the Court of Appeals decision, which is what they will do. The Montgomery County Bar Association is sponsoring that reception. Iowa governor's appointment, the Iowa's governor, that is, appoints the judges who preside in Iowa courtrooms, but judges as well as the justices on the Iowa Supreme Court periodically face what are called retention elections. Radio Iowa's O.K. Henderson reports.
Iowa judges are not elected. Instead, a judicial nominating commission interviews applicants. The commission submits three candidates to the governor for each opening. The governor makes the final call on which of the three get the job. The newly appointed judge or justice faces a retention election after serving on the bench for at least a year, then every 8 years after that. Three members of the Iowa Court of Appeals are up for retention votes this year, along with 63 district court judges. I'm O.K. Henderson.
And you can go to the story link on the KJAN news page to find a biography for each judge on the ballot and how each judge has been rated by the Iowa State Bar Association. Now, it's extremely rare for judges to be voted off the bench. However, in 2010, three Iowa Supreme Court justices lost their retention elections after joining in the court's 2009 ruling that legalized same-sex marriage. In 2016, the justice who wrote that opinion, as well as two other members of the Iowa Supreme Court who had joined the unanimous ruling on same-sex marriage, won their retention elections. Elsewhere in state news, a group of high school students in northeast Iowa County have developed a new app to manage tips about threats to school safety in the area. Seven students from the Osage, St. Ansgar, and Riceville worked with the Mitchell County Sheriff's Office to design and publish the app. Jenna Plotsky is a senior at Osage.
Messages can get miscommunicated, and we have problems where you think there's a kid with a gun or anything like that, so we wanted an easier way to communicate and a more efficient way to communicate if there was a threat and let administration know.
The Mitchell County Threat Reporter app lets students anonymously report threats like bullying or an active shooter directly to law enforcement. Mitchell County Sheriff Greg Beaver wanted an easier way for students to report potential threats after 17 people were killed in the Valentine's Day shooting at the Parkland, Florida High School.
Go back and look at the history of active shooters in our schools and school violence. So many of our young people say, well, we knew he was going to do it or she was going to do it, but they don't pick up 911 and call. We find out afterwards and it's too late. We can get these young people to report confidentially through an app. What better way to get the information ahead of time?
The app is available at the Google Play Store right now. It asks six general questions, from what the threat is to who's involved and where it could happen. Plotsky said that she and the six other students who worked on the app hope it can be used nationwide.
I think it'd be really beneficial if we'd be able to get it to other counties in Iowa, or even nationwide, if other people could use our interface to then create an app that can help their county. I know Mitchell County is pretty small, and if you had a bigger county on how much more beneficial it could be and how many more reports they could have and diffuse situations without getting out of hand.
The Mitchell County Threat Reporter app will be released for the iPhone and other Apple devices later this week. That's a check of the news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.